Here we go again. Time for another Social Club podcast from 90.5 WESA, your weekly roundup of places to go, things to do, products to ingest in Pittsburgh this weekend, which is the weekend of October 10th, 2014. Hello, I'm Josh Rollerson, joined as always by Rachel Carlson of Yelp Pittsburgh. Hey, Rachel.
Hello.
Hey, Rachel. Hey, do you like beer?
Duh.
Are you familiar with this product?
See, I don't know whether I should say quite familiar because I like beer and I like to drink beer, but the education side, I like to hear from the others. So, I like to just be a consumer.
Enthusiastic, but open to more information.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that's the right attitude. That's great. Because we have a special guest in the studio today, we're very excited to welcome Scott Smith, who I believe is the head brewer. I don't know if that's your title, but how I think of you.
Head floor washer, head...
there you go.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Head brewer at, I should specify, East End Brewing, which if you, you know, if you're not up on the beer scene in Pittsburgh or live under a rock or whatever, you may not know is maybe the most venerable, help me out, Rachel, the most venerable, beloved craft brewer in town. Is that, would that be accurate?
I would say that you're definitely up there in terms of, I don't want to say grandfather.
I got called the godfather of the Pittsburgh craft beer scene recently, which a couple of times, like independently in the same week, and it was a little... I
like that.
I don't know what that means.
Well, other than you don't kill people.
Yeah.
Let's hope not. Yeah.
Find an empty growler in somebody's bed instead of.
Yeah. You don't look very Italian, so no. I'm not too scared of you.
No.
You guys have been around for a while, and this is a beer scene that's really grown fast in very recent years, but when did you start up?
Yeah, this is actually we're coming up on our 10th anniversary in December, which shocks me. To no end.
We've
been doing this for a decade. Well, the first plan is to get the brew pub open and get the licensing from the state, which should hopefully happen by the end of this month. We've been working on this I've been saying that for 3 months now, but I think this is the month that it'll actually happen.
The wheels turn slowly, I've heard.
Slowly and very oddly. Very oddly. So we could go on. We could start a whole other podcast of PLCB rants.
I hear you have to draw a line and not cross it.
There may be a line on the floor. We have a coffee roastery, Commonplace Coffee Roasts, in our tasting room, and that is the biggest objection that the state has is that dogs and cats sleeping together in the same. In the same place.
Up is down, black is white.
Yeah, so we've got we actually have to do some delineation between the two and create like a neutral zone in between the two. And there might be a carefully placed T-shirt rack involved to keep all of you beer drinkers safe from the likes of me. But yeah, it's pretty absurd.
And you got to have like a case of Campbell's soup behind the counter, so you're a restaurant.
There is that. Yeah, we do have to have at least 30 portions of food on hand in order to sell a glass of beer.
Makes sense.
And we can do that a number of different ways. We can do it with the case of Campbell's soup and have like a $45 cup of soup on the menu that no one ever buys because why would you buy a, you know.
I want to know who buys that, though.
Someone might buy
someone
it out of great
will.
Irony or
PLCB.
Something.
True.
And you don't actually have to sell it. You just have to have it available. We could supplement with food trucks. We're going to have some simple food, probably a nice cheese board with local cheeses that will complement the beer, and then have various rotating other food options as we move ahead. We're not restaurant people. We're beer people. We're barely even bar people. So I don't want to take on too much that's going to distract us from what we need to focus on, which is what's in the glass.
And people truly are coming for the beer.
Right. If we can give them some food to make their visit a little more comfortable, that's great. But
I think
– I'm not going to – I refuse to put a twirly hot dog machine on the bar.
Some Doritos, some like pretzels.
Pretzels are good. Yeah, like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
If you're sampling different.
Yeah. Something that'll at least complement the beers that you got.
All right. Well, I see you brought some beers with you, and I want you to know we didn't invite you here just because we thought that you might bring some beer with you.
That's okay.
I'm
used to that. Yeah.
I like that Josh had to make that totally clear.
I know. Yeah. I have a couple of friends that don't drink at all, and they always say to me that you know that I'm your true friend because I'm not milking you for a free beer. But by the way, my friend likes that. Can I have some for him?
But I really would like you to bring me a growler. Thanks. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we're going to taste some of your wares shortly. But first, let's do the thing we always do, which is find out what Rachel Carlson's got cooking this weekend. Rachel, what's happening in Pittsburgh?
So I'll save the beer for last.
So will I.
Yes, that's a good one. But we do have some fun things going on that are not beer related, although you could probably visit a brewery at some point and grab your beer. But we have Oakland Forever, which is a celebration of Oakland, and it's 175 years old when Oakland was named. So they're celebrating that by having different booths and music, and some of the organizations will be free to go into, like the Carnegie Museum. So it's really cool in terms of celebrating that and all that Oakland has to offer, maybe other than the University of Pittsburgh and students. So a cool time to head down there if you're not a student.
So Oakland, I guess, started as an outpost separate from Pittsburgh. And I think that university campus has been there for a very long time, right?
Yeah,
it must have just sort of been
I would assume the university really formed Oakland.
Right.
But I think that obviously Oakland was there first and the university kind of enveloped that.
There you go.
But, you know, it's a great place to go. And I think a lot of times I don't think of going up there just because of how much the students have overtaken it. But it is a really great place with Phipps and with the Carnegie Museum and the parks and cathedral. Learning is a beautiful place, too, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a great place to head. So you can head there on Saturday or on Sunday. I think this is really cool, and this is something that just kind of popped up on my radar, but back of the house. So this is a chef throwdown, and it goes to a good cause. And there are going to be 7 different restaurants, with some great restaurants on the list. Route 174, Meat and Potatoes, Spoon, E2. I could just go down the list. It's a great restaurant list, and you get to try 7 tastings. It's not a food competition. It's just offering some great food for a good cause, and it's on Sunday, so you can grab tickets. It's $35, which is not bad, and $40 at the
throwdown makes it sound a little competitive, Rachel.
I know. I just like the word throwdown.
Maybe they're throwing down the empty plates after they're done, or the
there you go.
That is
it's a littering event, no.
Or just throwing a bunch of food down your gullet.
I do like that, which I do at times. So, but they really make it clear: no menu, no judging, no rules. So, just get some good grub from a great place and go for it. So you can head to that, or we have a Brewing Up for a Cure, which is the one I wanted to save because obviously we've got the brewmaster here. But this is a home brewing event that you can go to and check out a lot of the home brews. And the one thing, like I said, is a slightly not really kind of sort of educated, non-educated person in beer. I think a lot of home brewers have popped up in the sense of making really great beer, so it's not going to be. It's going to be good.
We've participated in Brewing Up a Cure for a number of years, and it's a great. It's honestly, it's a beer festival with all of the beers being homebrew. There's a couple of commercial beers sprinkled in there. We won't have any beer in it this time around, but it's honestly a chance to taste what people are making in their homes, and these are beers that you'll never taste anywhere. So there's something kind of novel about that.
And it's almost a tease, too. When I was at Big Pour, I had, and now I have to remember, it was like something Star. It was a home brew, and they had a really, really great pumpkin beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very memorable, and it was a tease because I'm like, where can I get more?
Oh, maybe it was CoStar Brewing.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah.
Yep. I was looking at you. What was it?
So CoStar is actually a licensed, legitimate commercial brewery. They run some stuff on draft at Kelly's Bar and Lounge. Typically, they have some CoStar on tap there.
It was very good.
Yeah.
So it's impressive, I think, to check out these home brewers and see what they have going on. I always equate it to when people try and make wine and it tastes like grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be that way. It's going to be good.
Yeah, and modern home brewing has come a long way. That's how I got started, is 5 gallons at a time on my stove, stinking up the house and making a mess in the kitchen. So,
I think we have another home brewer in here too.
Yeah, I guess at times. Yeah, I've brewed a little beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With, you know, mixed success. I'm not opening a brewery anytime soon.
Yeah, like I have a guitar and I can play some chords. Right. I don't consider like myself that. A musician, but it enhances my appreciation of music.
There you
so
go.
It's a way in.
Well put.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rachel, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned pumpkin beer. It's a nice segue because, you know, onto the matter at hand, we have a very important topic to address today. You know, this is a seasonal phenomenon that we're all currently in the grip of right now. I just want to read you a little bit from a tweet that caused some controversy last year. Okay, so bear with me. Pumpkin beer is the modern-day equivalent of the mullet. Everybody that brewed one will be ashamed of it in a decade. And those words touched off a bit of a Twitter fight last year. Around this time, they were retweeted by the magazine Beer Advocate, and a sort of controversy ensued. You can read an account of that on BuzzFeed if you're interested. But, you know, if you're a beer drinker, you may already know the matter of pumpkin-flavored beers, and I'm doing air quotes right now, evokes strong feelings sometimes among both fans and detractors. And, you know, both are well represented. But as I said, this time of year, this stuff is all over the place. It seems like every commercial brewer has an example. Scott, you guys are no exception, although, you know, if I may say, I think you've taken a refreshing approach to the concept.
And thanks.
Tell us about Nunkin.
Yeah, we've been reluctant to jump into the pumpkin beer world for, I guess this is our third year of brewing Nunkin. And people would always say, when are you going to make a pumpkin beer? And it's such a polarizing beer. I think most people either love it or love to hate it, and I think those that love it is a larger number. It's a nice entry point for people just getting into craft beer. It pulls them in a way that you know a double IPA is going to push them away.
Right.
My concern all the time was why would I go through all this nonsense of handling all this fruit? It's a big mess at the brewery. You know, everybody at the brewery is always running ragged, and you're you know, the wine industry talks about their crush happening every September. Well, our crush is every month. It's always you're scrambling to stay out in front of it. And why would I take on this big messy project with all sourcing pumpkins? How do you prepare them? Where do you use them in the brewing process? Because I have honestly, I have yet to taste a beer that actually has the squash flavor.
Right. Yeah, why would you include actual pumpkin if there's no?
Yeah. I was talking with Bill Croft from Marzoni's. He stopped by the brewery yesterday, and he said they're doing their very first pumpkin beer. And I said, so did you put any fruit in it? Any pumpkin? And he said, yeah. And he pulled up a picture on his phone, and as he was emptying out the mash tun of the spent grain, he had placed a pumpkin in the grain and took a picture of it, and then put the pumpkin away.
Yeah.
So that's actually more pumpkin than we use in art. So
it's so interesting too, because I think that from a marketing perspective, I think that it's also been just marketed in your face. Pumpkin. Mm-hmm. And I know the big offender is pumpkin with their marketing efforts. And I think that just really putting it in your face has been part of it too, as with the pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks.
It's everywhere.
Right.
It's not
you can get pumpkin potato chips and pumpkin, but the spicing is the key. That's the flavor. So my take on it is that the squash flavor is so subtle that the chances of that surviving over the flavor of the malt and the hops in the beer is so slim. And then you come on top with the spices. It's completely obliterated any possibility of having it there. The sugar it contributes to fermentables in the beer is also going to be trivial as well. And if you look at some of the big guys, big small guys, like Dogfish Head, I'm not sure how Southern Tier makes theirs. You look at the pumpkin percentage that they're putting in; it's really a small amount compared to the overall. It's there for novelty and it's there for excitement. And those are genuine ingredients in beer, I do believe. I don't want to mess with the gourds in the brewer house.
When people say, I like pumpkin beer, what they mean is I like what, nutmeg, cinnamon?
I was going to say, are you allowed to say the ingredients?
I'm not, there's not a code of silence among the pumpkin beer makers, so I can share what we do. We use a mixture of basically pumpkin pie spices. So there's some nutmeg, there's some allspice, there's some clove, there's some vanilla, there's some cinnamon. And probably two or three other things that I'm not thinking of right now. We've tweaked this recipe the first year. We actually did each batch a little different, trying to dial it in. We don't really do pilot batches at the brewery. We take a growler of beer and we add some spice to it and see how that is. Taste it, okay, get an approximation of what that would be like in the brewing process. But we've got it dialed into where we like it now. It's a right balance, I think, of sweetness and spice, and it also tastes like beer, which I think is important for yeah. brewers to remember here, or here. Keep in mind. It's beer should also be beer.
It's not a wine cooler.
Yeah.
Beer.
Yeah. Right. And you definitely have to go easy on the spices, or you get into Yankee Candle territory, right. and it's just like completely off-putting. For me personally, my palate confuses the flavor of vanilla with oxidation, which is an indication of staleness in a beer, right. Pretty easily. So for me, I like the vanilla notes to be kind of in the background, yeah. or I like vanilla notes from a beer that's been aged in a bourbon barrel. That's a different kind of a vanilla character that has a woody aspect to it.
Well, it's got a nice solid malt backbone.
Yeah,
saying it tastes like beer.
Right.
I think that some of the pumpkin quote, air quote, beers, you can hardly taste any spices in. And then on the other end of things, they rim with cinnamon,
oh my God,
and then
right.
they
yeah.
like
it cinnamon
becomes,
sugar, and it's like, yeah, whipped cream, and it may as well be a latte.
Yeah, a pumpkin spice
which has
latte.
So little to do with. So it's funny because as brewers, at least at East End, we have this disdain for a lot of the heavy sugar treatment of beers and such. And the guys at Commonplace Coffee, who roast at our location, they have sort of the same like general eye rolling when it comes to the right. to the pumpkin latte, because they're coffee nerds to our beer nerds, so they it's only fitting that they would be
I like that though.
Troubled by it. Yeah,
yeah. All right. Well, hey Scott, what else since you're guesting in here, what have you got planned for this weekend, or any ideas for things that our listeners might want to do?
Gosh, this weekend. Well, of course, we're at the Nemecolon Fest. I think they call it the Rocktoberfest. And that's a super inexpensive beer fest. I think it's like $20.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is crazy. But they've got this whole activity thing built around it as well. So I think there's like an all-day activity pass for $25, and then you can add the beer festival on that. I don't know if zip lining and a beer festival. I'm sure there's a sequence recommended for that, but
I would agree.
Depending upon who's underneath you and how that may play out. But so that's our near, you know, that's typical brewery life, is I'm worried about getting through this weekend. I had a hard time glancing down the road too far. But for our brew pub opening, we're going to do a soft opening when the state finally gives us our license. And then about a month after that, we plan to circle back with what we're calling our grand opening week of shenanigans. So we're going to have a full week of events, everything from a bike ride to beer belly yoga in the brewery.
Oh, I love that.
We've got a beer and food pairing charity event happening on that Saturday. We're doing a square dance in the brewery.
Nice.
Wow.
My sister's actually a highfalutin square dance caller.
Will you get involved with this?
That could be ugly, but it's pretty open to all skill levels. So same thing with the yoga.
Depending
so
on what percentage of alcohol.
Right,
you're drinking.
And there's a nice mix of beer into all of these things. So for the beer belly yoga, it's come for a stretch, namaste for a beer.
Nice.
I love it. Wow. We're
all right.
Big on the puns.
We will look forward to that, definitely. Well, we gotta wrap it up, you guys. We've been here for a long time.
It's okay.
I could do this all day, but
that's what I was going to say.
You got to move on. That's Social Club for this week. We want to thank Scott Smith from East End Brewing for joining us and for bringing some refreshments along. Thanks again, Scott.
Thanks.
If you guys are, of course, as the name suggests, in the East End, kind of.
Technically, we're in the Larimer neighborhood, but nobody knows where Larimer is. Actually, the Bakery Square is part of Larimer, so we're
behind
East
that,
Liberty.
I would say.
Yeah, we're kind of on the other side of the tracks, the wrong side of the tracks from Bakery Square.
Behind Bakery Square.
Yeah.
I think that's the best.
And
behind
the strip
Square.
At the public market, too.
Yeah, we're open there 5 days a week with our growler shop right as part of a public market, so you can taste and growler your way through your afternoons.
And be entertained by Steve.
And Steve runs a room there, boy. He can talk to everybody that comes in.
Absolutely.
If you need a friend, Steve will be your friend in the first 5 minutes of stepping in there.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks again. On Twitter at
East End Brewing. Yeah.
Okay.
Amper East End Brewing.
All right. Follow him there. And Rachel Carlson tweets at Yelp Pittsburgh. Rachel, thanks as always.
Of course.
Reed Carter writes the pithy show notes that you'll find at our website, wesa.fm. There you can get details on all the stuff we talked about today. Josh Mobley at Josh Mobley Music composed the theme music. Thanks again, Josh, and thanks to you for listening. I hope you'll join us again next week for another Social Club. I'm Josh Rawlerson. Have a great weekend.